All right, quickly, let's go into our message because I don't want everybody to keep looking at the snow. And we're going through, it said, on the screen, it said, like rain, snow from heaven, and the snow is coming down from heaven. You see that, right? The incredible power of the Bible is there to deepen our walk with God. Help me, I don't have the clicker, so. Good. And what we're going to dwell on today is the sufficiency of the scripture. And mainly we want to look at, for God to open our eyes. Open my eyes. You know, sometimes when you, let me hold up, pause for that. I will come later. Let's go to the next slide, Andrea, help me. In a word, that's our YouTube blog. If you go online to watch our services, that's our blog. And we say, in our world filled with chaos and uncertainty, you often find yourself overwhelmed and in need of clarity. And sometimes you're confused, but where do you turn? Do you turn to your friends? Do you turn to your husband, your wife, or whatever source that you find? But let us dive into the Word of God and discover how it provides a way out. Amen? Amen. As we go down to the next slide, our eternal truth tells us that the Word of God has the ability to reveal wondrous truths, right? About God. Oh, y'all ain't gonna agree with me? Okay, it starts snowing here, so when it starts snowing, then you're gonna answer. All right. It reveals wondrous truths about God, and not only that, but ourselves. Because when we read the scripture, guess what? It reveals who we are. We see ourselves in there, and it kind of tells us, if I'm not on the right track, the scripture is there to reveal who I am. And not only that, it also there to reveal the world around us. And that's a unique thing about God's word. There is no other book does that. There is no other book does what the word of God does, what it has in store for us. So as we go along this morning, going to the afternoon, we want to look at the Psalm 119. As we go to the next slide, Andrea, help me. We go to the next slide. We want to look at the book of Psalm 119. That's the third stanza of the psalmist when he wrote, considering the truth about God's word, the importance of God's word, and how it guides us. But we are not going to understand, we are not going to see, we are not going to notice what is in God's word until God really opens our eyes. Because sometimes we go through the word, and we just go, and we don't understand what we're reading. But we're going to see why the psalmist require God to open his eyes. And from here, I believe we can see and say, God, open my eyes. And I like the song that the priest sang, open my eyes. You know, there's another version, the lady sang that song. She said, open the heart of my eyes. Because even though I can see, but is it coming from within my heart? If my heart is open, it will help me to see more what God wants me to see, right? So as we go into God's word this morning, we want to look at a couple of things. One, we want to look at the provision of God's word. Do we really see it in the scripture? Where do we turn when we need help? Where do we turn when we are in need of breakthrough? When we're in need of prayer, where do we turn? And sometimes because we don't go to the word of God, because the word of God is God's word. He spoke his word, right? And if we don't go to God and remind him, it's not that he doesn't know, but sometimes we have to speak God's word to himself and say, God, this is what your word says. And when we speak God's word to him, God knows his word better than we do, right? But it tells us that, who? God knows that, okay, yes, my child knows my word. And God is going to respond. And that's exactly what the psalmist did here. And first, we want to look at the provision of God's word. the reassurance in distress. Now, this psalmist, we don't know. Some say it was David. Some say it was Solomon. We don't know it's that person. But whoever that person was may have been going through some distress. And it needed God's intervention. So, where did it turn? To the word of God. So, in the passage here, as we go help us, we're going to look at the guidance in trials. In verse 17, he said, deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Now, this psalmist, this writer, he was bold enough, because when you said the word bountiful, the way it means something big, right? Your expectation is large. You want something great. And that was his expectation. He said, deal bountifully. He said, deal greatly with me, your servant. Now, why? In verse 17, he begins by asking God to be gracious and sustain him according to his word. Look at it. He said, that I may live and keep your word. He said that I may live and inherit blessings. He didn't say that I may live and be the richest man or the happiest man or continue the good life that I desire to live. But he said that I may live and keep your word. That was his desire. And he desired to continue life merely because it affords him the opportunity to continue in obedience. Thank you, Andrea. I'm out of battery. Yeah. It gave him the opportunity. He's not pleading for favor. He's not arguing for favor. He begs for mercy and grace, because guess what? He don't need little grace. He don't need little mercy. He need more grace. Many of us here need more grace. I don't know about you, but I need more grace. I need more mercy, because when I wake up, I don't know what lies ahead of me. I don't know what the day brings. I don't know what I'm going to experience. I don't know what I'm going to do. Because in my own self, in my own flesh, I'm nothing. But it takes the power of God to do what he wants me to do. So I need more of his mercy. And how can I get it? It's through his word. And this is the word of something I said, that I may live and keep your word. It wasn't a personal indulgence or even a comfort, but it was so that God's word might be lived and kept in him. In times of trouble and uncertainty, where do we turn? We turn to what? The word of God. And we see here that God's word is not just rules that, it's not just a set of rules, but a source of life and sustenance. Listen, in the book of Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, Jesus said, man shall not live on bread alone. But why? Every word of God out of their mouth. So, he knew the word of God was powerful for him to survive. And that's what we need. Until we know what the word of God entails, we're not going to know what to ask God for. And as we rely on God's word for sustenance in our daily life, we must turn to the scripture, church. Now, if we go to the next slide, help me address to the next slide. No, go back, please. You're right. Go ahead. Sorry. You're right. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. Why is it the word of God important? Because he says, for the word of God is what? Living and what? Powerful. If I want to experience great things, where should I turn? To a living word. It's powerful and say what? It is sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces the heart, even the division of the soul and spirit, and the joints and marrow, and is discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's how powerful the word of God. And that's that's why the psalmist would say, deal with me, Lord, so that I may know your word. And as we go on further, help me address this slide. He says that when we go through trial, where do we turn? In verse 18, he said, open my eyes. Open my eyes that I may see what? Wondrous things from where? Your law. Let me say this. How many of you have experienced this? You went in your house, maybe you're looking for something, you open the cabinet, you know it's always been in the cabinet, and you're saying there, where is this stuff? I know it's here. But it's right there, you're looking for it and you can't find it. You experience it, right? And you're there. And sometimes I'll be my wife and say, you know, over here you can't see. It's right there. It's right there. I said, but I'm not seeing it. And she'll kind of say, oh, but you know, let's look, step back for a minute, right? Sometimes we're reading God's word, we're looking at it, but we're not seeing anything because our mind is not there. We're looking, we're reading, our mind is not there, our heart is not there. So we cannot understand. And sometimes you're looking in the cabinet for that particular thing, but your mind is not there that you're looking. You may probably thinking about something else. Your eyes is open, you're looking, but you cannot see what you are looking for. And in order for us, that's why the son believed that spiritually his eyes were blind, that he could not see what is in God's word. So he needed God to open his eyes. That's why he said, open my eyes, that now that I will see the beautiful things that you created. No, but mainly from your word, from the word of God. Now, the word open in Hebrew is called gala. It means to uncover, to reveal. So when he says, open my eyes, it means he wants God to reveal what is in his word. We can preach, but we cannot reveal what is in God's word. Only God has the power to reveal what is in his word. And until you can ask God to reveal what is in his word, even though we go to theological school, we learn. But you know one thing my professor said? He said, even we as professors, like Paul said, we are not there yet. We learn, we got all the degrees, but the only person that interprets God's word is the Holy Spirit and God himself. He just uses us as a guide to speak. And as we speak, that's why sometimes we pray, we say, Lord, let the Holy Spirit speak, not us. Amen? Let's go to the next slide, Andrea. Now, these passages, it kind of highlights the importance of recognizing God's marvelous work. Now, wondrous things in the Hebrew word is called pala. It means to be marvelous, to be extraordinary. And wondrous things appear so many times in the scripture, but I just want to point to, in the book of Exodus chapter 3, verse 20, God speaks of performing wonders in Egypt. In a sense that when God told Moses, he said, go to Egypt, tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And Moses was afraid. He said, why am I going to tell Pharaoh? But God told him, he said, go, I will do wonders in Egypt. And the wonders that he did in Egypt is a history that the world remembered today what God did for the children of Israel to leave Egypt. How he punished the Egyptians. And you know, when I read those passages, and God said, he will harden the heart of Pharaoh. So he, God, will prove how he, God, is wonderful, that he has power over mankind. And that's why the psalmist looked at it, he said, you know what, God? Open my eyes. Sometimes we are spiritually blind. Until God can open our eyes to reveal what his word says, we will not understand what God's word says. We will not find out those things when we are going through trial. Sometimes we go through trial, we cry, oh God, why is it happening to me? But read God's word and see what God's word says when you go through trial. He says, I will not leave you nor forsake you. He said, when you go through the storm, you go through the fire, guess what? It will now consume you. That's the power of God. But if we don't understand, if we don't read it, we don't know why God's word, how powerful the word of God is for us. In Psalm 78, verse 11, the psalmist David talks about the wonders of God, how he performed for the children of Israel. Imagine 40 years in the wilderness, dealing with a group of people. Stubborn, hot. Someone say hot-headed. Thank you. Stubborn and hot-headed. Imagine God moving with them. The Bible says he will pit a cloud by day and fire by night. He led them. And they were very stubborn. But yet God still led them to the promised land. Because why? He made a promise to them that he would take them to a land and they would be his people. No matter how stubborn they were, no matter how they rejected him, no matter all these things they did, but God still loved his people. He still loved his own. He still cared about his own. And if we don't ask God to open our eyes, sometimes we think God has forgotten us in our trials. And that's why the psalmist, he even going through a trial, he didn't concentrate on his trial, but he concentrated on God opening his eyes so he can see what is in the word of God for his own soul. Amen? You see, church, God's word is rich with wisdom, insight, but we must first of all seek revelation when we want to understand God's word. God's word, in the book of Proverbs, chapter 2, verse 8, tells us that, for the Lord gave wisdom from his mouth, come knowledge and understanding. So when we approach the scripture with humility and a heart open to learning, guess what? God reveals truth that kind of transforms our lives daily. And that's the truth about God. Let's go to the next slide, Andrea. In the book of John chapter 9, verse 39 to 41, that was Jesus speaking. And Jesus said, he said, for judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be blind. You understand? There are those who say they can see, but they can't see. They are blind. So he came for those. And bam, some of the Pharisees said, whoa, what is this man talking about? Who were he? And some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said to him, are we blind also? Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you have no sin. But now you see, we see. Therefore, your sins remain. These are religious leaders. They claim to be religious leaders. They claim to know the scroll. They claim to know the Torah. They claim to know the word of God. But guess what? They were blind spiritually. They could not see the truth because the word of God was with them and they rejected him. They didn't accept him. They didn't recognize him as the Son of God. Because the word, the Bible says in the beginning, what? The word. And the word was what? With God. And who was the word? And the word was what? And there was nothing that was made. That was not made without him. And in the book of John, it said, and the word began what? Flesh. And thus what? Dwell among men. This word of God now began flesh, dwell among these guys, and they did not recognize him. Because why? They were blind. And that's why Jesus said in verse 41 that he said, for judgment have come unto the world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may be blind. So some of us think we can see, but we are not able to, we're not seeing what God wants us to see. We are spiritually blind. But how can we? That's why the psalmist said, Lord, open my eyes that I may see. And that should be our prayer, that God will open our eyes that we'll see. Not what we want to see now, but what God's word says. That's why we should be eager for to see. Help us, Andrea, let's go to the next slide, please. In Isaiah 42:16 says, I will bring the blind by a way they did not know. That's God's word. He said, I will lead them in paths they have not known. I will make darkness light before them, and crooked path places straight. These things I will do for them and not forsake them. That's, if we desire God to open our eyes, that's exactly what he says he's going to do in his word. He said, at the end there, he said, and I will now forsake them. That's the power of God's word when we trust in God's word. When we approach the scripture with humility and a heart opening to learn God's, guess what? He revealed truth and transformed our lives. So we're going to go to the next point, the promise of God's presence in his word. Even as we, okay, before we go to the promise, let's go over this passage of scripture of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Now, Timothy was a young man and coming into ministry, and Paul wrote and said, remember this, that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's what? Profitable for what? Doctrine. For what? Reproach. Reproof, rather. For correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for what? Every good work. How many of us know that God's word is given to inspire us? How many of us know that God's word is complete? How many of us know that God's word is thoroughly equipped for every good work? Until we ask God to open our eyes, that's the power of the scripture. That's the power of God's word. Until we can go into God's word and value it for ourselves, we will know what the word entails for us. Amen? Help us, Andrea, let's go to the next line. The promise of God's presence, even in trial. We got comfort in affliction, and we got assurance of help. So in verse 19, as we go, the next slide, Andrea, please. In verse 19, it says that, he said, I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. Do not hide your, he asked God, why did he ask God? So that he may know God's word. And now he's saying that, Lord, I'm a stranger in this land. In order for me to go forward, I need your word. So don't hide your commandments from me. There are things I may read, I may not understand. Lord, reveal them to me so that I may understand what your word says. We all are strangers in this land we are going through. You agree with me? We all are strangers. This is just, so, thank you. This song says this is just a transiting point, right? We're going to move to eternity. And like the psalmist, he said, Lord, I'm a stranger here. And while I'm dwelling here, give me the opportunity. Let me understand what your word will lead me, will guide me, that I will not forget who you are, even as a stranger in this place. Because there are so many things around me that can distract me from who I should be for you. There are so many things that can turn me away from you. There are so many things that can break me down. There are so many things that can even destroy my life. But Lord, do not hide your commandment from me. Open my eyes so that I can see. Because I'm a stranger. We all are strangers and we are passing through. And in order to pass through this lane, when you wake up in the morning, you don't know what lies before you. You don't know what the next day is going to be like. You don't know how things are going to be like. And sometimes you're going through everything. And this psalmist was going through distress. You're going through some problem. But he did not focus on the problem. He focused on God, allowing him to understand what the word is so that he can be able to go through. And that's why Paul could say in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, he said, for we walk by faith, not by sight. And as we walk in this strange land, this land that we occupy for a period of time, we ought to walk by faith. Because when we walk by sight, we will be fighting, jumping down and getting into a ditch and what have you. But when we walk by faith, because we know the one who guides us. Yeah. We're not trusting in our own self. We are trusting in the true and the living God, because he's able to open our eyes and see what he has in his word. The psalmist said, do not hide your commandment from me. He wanted to make sure that God's word was continually before him, that he would have eyes to see what God wanted him to see and know and learn and apply it to his life. He knew there is no satisfaction on this earth. No matter how much you may accomplish, no matter how much you may obtain, there is no satisfaction on this earth. But the only place satisfaction is, it's in heaven. And that's why he says, Lord, do not hide your commandment from me. And satisfaction, before we get to heaven, is in God's word. Amen. People may write books and all those things and think they can give you satisfaction. Sometimes they even borrow from here. So if they borrow from here, why I can just spend time in here? And ask God. Say, open my eyes, Lord, so that I may know, so I may keep your word. Amen? Amen. Another thing to understand here is that, church, when the psalmist said, do not hide your commandment from me, he's seeking God's commandment as his compass, right? In a world that feels so unfamiliar and so challenging. Don't we need God's divine guidance during life uncertainty? Don't we need God's prayer? Don't we need his earnest desire for our spiritual understanding? Don't we need God's word to guide us through our life struggle? Don't we need God's word in time of distress and confusion? Don't we need God's word for both comfort and protection while we navigate the complex life that we live? And that's why the psalmist said, do not hide your word from me, Lord. Open my eyes that I may see. Psalm 119, verse 5 declares, say, your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. And if God's word is a lamp to our feet and light, we need God's word daily. When we feel lost and overwhelmed, church, this is why we can turn to God for God's word for direction. Help us, Andrea, let's go to the next slide. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 6, it says, trust in the Lord with what? All your heart. And do not what? Lean on your own understanding, but in all of your way, what? Acknowledge. And he will what? Direct your path. Isn't that what we need for God to direct our path? Amen. And how does he do it? Through his word. Through his word. Help us, let's go to the next slide. We have assurance for help. Longing for God's presence. In verse 20, he said, my soul breaks with longing for judgment at all times. He said, my soul breaks with longing for judgment at all times. What does that mean? So here's the question. What do you desire more than anything in your life? What is it that in your heart yearn for? What is that you cry for? Sometimes you make a list. What do you make? What is on top of the list? Sometimes God's word is not on top of our list. Someone said Range Rover on top of our list. Many of us, we got kids, right? You know, sometimes when your kids want something from you, what do? They come in a good form, right? They come around you. You see that friendliness coming around you. They love you at that moment. And all the sweet talks. My daughter looking at me. They come with all the sweet talk, rubbing your hair, rubbing your belly, and saying things, kissing you on your forehead. And but as soon as they get it, it's gone. It's just for that moment. And that's, isn't that how we are to God? When we want something for God, then we get in that mood to ask God. We get in, but you see, God, he's not like we heavenly and earthly parents. He sees us and he knows exactly what we are when we are pretending. Because the moment we get those things, we're gone. We just like our kids. But yes, what the psalmist says, he said, my soul breaks with longing for your judgment at all time. Why is he trying to say, for many Christians, we look familiar when especially we want something or blessing from God or God's wisdom, we start spending time in God's word. That's when we read God's word, we pray. When we want him to get us out of a particular circumstances, guess what? We adjust our spiritual priorities and begin to do those things we want, think to please God. Right? Now, our ultimate objective is not actually to please God. It's really what to convince God to accommodate our desires. That's exactly what we do. But a sermon is not like that. He is overwhelming desire. His overwhelming desire is for God's word. It is not a passing desire, rather. No, it's an unending desire. His desire for God's word is not because of the situation he's in at that moment. It's a desire that is unending. He said, I need your word. That's why from the beginning he said, open my eyes. And then he said, do not hide your commandment from me. It's not on any desire of God's word because he knows what is in the word of God. The psalmist is a desperate man, right? Recognizing his need for wisdom. So he turned to God. Help us, Andrea, to the next slide. One thing, David said in Psalm 24, he said, one thing have I desired is what? That I will seek who? That I will seek. Seek who? Seek God. I believe that's what he meant. And that I may what? Dwell in the house of the Lord. And he said, some of the days of my life. He didn't say that? Oh, let me wear my glasses. Oh, he said, all the days of my life. Oh! Now when I feel like it, when I'm in a good mood, oh, I don't feel good today, so I'm not going to church. Oh, this problem is too much, I'm not going to church. Oh, but when I buy that new suit, I'm going to church today. Oh, I have this, I'm going to church today. That's not what God, that's what somebody said. He said, all the days of my life, the word to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his what? Temple. No matter what the situation may be like, no matter what I'm going through, no matter my circumstances, I'm not going to withhold from being in the presence of God. Because there where I find peace, there where I find hope, there where I understand who God is. And that's why he said, and to inquire in his temple. Help us, let's go to the next slide. We're getting there. Don't worry, the snow ain't do nothing yet. It's just a flick. We can drive through that. The purpose of God's wisdom. We understand the summit dealing desire of God's word. He asking God to open his eyes. He asking God that he want to understand and know God's word. Isn't that why we should be longing for church? Isn't that should be our desire? That we will inquire of God's word? The purpose of God's wisdom. There is wisdom in God's word, right? But we will not understand the wisdom in God's word until we get into... Yes, a fascinating thing as go through God's word. Sometimes you preach on one passage, you read, you study on one passage. Guess what? God's word is so great that the next time come, God can give you another revelation. That particular word that you preached on different time ago, some time ago, he gave you new revelation on that particular word. Because at that particular time, this is what God wants. That's the wisdom we get from God's word. But if we don't really get into God's word, we're never going to understand it. Do you know the devil knows the word? He knows it. Because the Bible said when Jesus fasted after 40 days, what did he do? When he was led into the wilderness, what did the devil say? He tested and he said, "Hey, man, I know you're hungry. And it's written that you can turn these stones into bread." And he know that it's there. So Jesus said, "It is written, man, what? Shall not live by bread alone." Don't tempt the Lord your God. Satan knows it. But if we don't know the scripture, guess what? Satan's going to use us. And that's why the psalmist make no mistake. He said, "Lord, open my eyes." He said, "Do not hide your commandment from me." Help Andrea, let's go to the next slide. Wait there. The importance of righteous judgment, right? From the scripture, he said, in verse 21, 22, he said, "You rebuke the proud, the cursed, who stray from your commandments." He said, "Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I kept your testimonies." Now, in times of opposition, when others speak against you, try to bring you down, what do you do? Do you react to their doing? You know, Friday, our youth bridge fellowship, we were teaching on influence. How can we be an influence in our school, in our home, with our little brothers and sisters? How can we be a good influence? And one of the kids said, "So if somebody hit me, what should I do?" I said, "Don't hit them back." He said, "Oh no, we're gonna meet in the hallway." I said, "No, that's not. You're not a good influence." He said, "Man, if they smack me," and then Marcus, he said, the Bible said, "Turn your cheeks." I said, "Oh yes, Marco is learning something here." He said, "Turn the right cheek." I said, "Marco, do you mean it?" He said, "But that's what the Bible says." But listen, that's exactly what we do, right? We want to, when someone said things against us, when someone do things, we want to pay back. And the psalmist is saying, he says that, he said, "You rebuke the proud, you curse, say, you stray. Who stray from your commandments?" He's not looking for a request to pay back. He's looking up to God. Whoever does anything wrong against him, he's not paying back, because the word of God says, "Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will what? Repay." But if you start acting to respond right away, no, you're not acting according to the word of God. And that's important, that as believers, we need God to open our eyes. Spiritually, not physically, but spiritually, to enable us to understand the power of God's word. How we can use the word of God daily in our lives to overcome whatever the enemy may throw at us. Sometimes you just need to just see a scripture reference and just walk away. And one of the kids said, "No, they're going to bully you. They're going to tell you, everybody's going to jump on you." I said, "That's why you have your parents. That's why you have the principal. Go and talk about it, but don't take action." Amen? Amen. In the passage here, when we meditate on his statutes, it helps us to shift our focus from the negative surrounding us and endure into the truth of God's word. The psalmist, he said, "Your testimony are my delight. They are my counselor." We see that he recognized the transformation power just by meditating on God's word. It changed his mindset of not doing what he should be doing. No matter probably what he was going through, it was too much. But he decided to meditate on God's word. And meditating on God's word is the most important thing in a time of distress, in a time of trial, in the time of whatever life may throw at us. It's hard sometimes, right? That other side of me want to show that, oh, you can't just do this and walk away. I got to show you who I am. That old me, the old man. Paul talks about the old man and the new man. And that old man always want to take charge over the new man. Thank you. He's still there. But who helped us? God's word helped us to overcome the power of the old man. And that's why the psalmist said, open my eyes. When we delight in God's word to make it our counsel, church, it becomes a source of guidance and wisdom. No matter what we're going through, it becomes source and guidance. And guess what? It directs our steps and helps us to make wise decisions in the midst of what we are going through. Not allowing us to make decisions that will destroy our relationship with God. Amen? Help us, Andrea. Let's go to the next slide. And as we go, meditating God's word. The psalmist said, in verse 23 to 24, he said, princes also sit and speak against me, but your servant meditates on your statutes. Your testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. God's word should be our delight. God's word should be our counselor. That's the power of meditating on God's word. We find counsel in God's word. We find help in God's word. We find way out in God's word. It helped direct our path. It helped put us on the path that we were going to fall off, but his word is there to guide us. That's the power of God's word. And make no mistake that somebody say, Lord, open my eyes. Open my eyes that I may what? Know your what? Word. That I may see and know your word. And the most important thing he said, please, Lord, do not hide your commandment from me. I got a friend, he said, when I'm reading the Bible sometimes, and some of the things I see in there get me scared, I close the Bible. And I told him, I said, brother, when you close the Bible, that means that particular thing you see, it scares you, go back and read and pray about it, because that's what destroying your life. Because God is revealing to you who you are. And that's the work of the word of God. It's there to reveal who we are. How we're living. And sometimes we're afraid to open it. Because the word of God doesn't compromise with us. God's word doesn't compromise. It speaks truth. It says it like it is. And it left with you. But the psalmist did not want it to be left with him. He wants God to be involved. And that's why he said, open my eyes. Help me, Andrea. Let's go to the next part. The next slide. The plan. What do we do going forward from here? He asked God to open his eyes. He asked God, he said, please do not hide your commandment from me. And now, what do we do? We are not a psalmist, but we learn from how powerful the word of God is. So what do we do? We too need to pray to seek understanding from God's word. We need God to show us. We need to recognize scripture as the ultimate guide. There is no other thing that can guide our life than the word of God. I'm not looking down on great authors that write books and books and books. Good. Sometimes they are helpful. But the most important one that is helpful to us is what? God's word. And guess what? It's free. It is free. You can go to the bookstore and buy books that cost, especially for students, right? $200, $400. Oh, yeah, books. And guess what? They will only change the back, but it's the same old thing that is inside. And it's a new edition, But it's the same old thing that is inside. And they sell it to a student for $400, $500. But you see, God's word, it stays the same. It never changed. It has power. And we should dedicate time in reading God's word. Dedicate our time in the scripture. Share insight with fellow believers. It helps us. If you don't understand, you know, I love Mrs. Long, right? I'm not picking on you. But a couple of folks here, they go, oh, I don't understand it. What do you think about this? Sometimes you walk in the hallway, she will pull you on the side and want to understand. That's a good idea that she wants to understand what God's word says for X, Y, and Z. What it's about. And sometimes some one or two members will text me, Pastor Ansu, I don't understand what the passage is saying. Can you, okay, give me a break. I'll call you back. Even at work, so sometimes I will take a minute and say, okay, I'll close my office door because I don't know what God is doing at that moment to that person and he needs understanding for that person. So I close my office door, lock it, and put, don't disturb for now, and have that moment, even though I shouldn't be doing that because I'm working on company time. But guess what? That's, Bible says, share insights with what? Fellow believers. That will help us to grow. You don't understand anything? Don't be afraid. We, as pastors, we don't understand everything. We don't know all. We rely on God to help us. We rely on the Holy Spirit to teach us his word. But the good thing here is that when you are like the psalmist, you have the desire to want to know God's word, you're going to tell God, say, Lord, open my eyes. Let me know your word. Do not hide your word from me. Church, as we close, we live in a world that is filled with distraction and confusion. But yes, we must recognize the sufficiency of what? The scripture as our ultimate guide. The scripture as our sustenance and is the source of wisdom. No other word has the power. The word of God is not just a collection of ancient texts. Don't see God's word as a collection of ancient texts. No, it's a living provision that nourishes our soul. Guess what? It illuminates our path and it equips us for every good work according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 to 17. That's the word of God. He says, it's for correction, it's for instruction in righteousness. And guess what? In that the man of God may be what? Thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's the power of God's word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your word, Lord. We just thank you this hour. And like the psalmist says, Lord, open our eyes that we may see and know your word. Do not hide your commandments from us, Lord. We are blind, Lord, and we need you to open our eyes to see what your word has in store for us. And if you are here, you don't know the Lord as your Savior, that means you are completely spiritually blind. Until you can experience God's word, you have to experience him for yourself. And you are here also, you are saved. But you are also blind because there are certain things lacking in your life when it comes to you spending time in God's word. God is ready to show you his word. Father, just open our hearts to know you personally and know your word. We just thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll call the praise team to just sing a closing song as we.
Everyone, please stand and sing with us as we sing Trust and Obey.
the sufficiency of the scripture. Open my eyes. We all desire God to open our eyes, no matter who you are. We need God to open our eyes to understand what His word is all about, to find the truth in God's word. And we can only do that when we talk to God, when we tell Him, when we speak to Him, when we pour our hearts to Him, like the psalmist did. He didn't withhold anything. He talked to God. And we today need to talk to God. Say, Lord, open my eyes that I may see your word, not for myself, not for my glory, but to know your word. Because there is truth in the word of God. There is hope in the word of God. And there is life in the word of God. Pastor Gary will close us.
We're going to close with a word of prayer. Just a quick thought. I'm not sure it's me getting older. It might be that. But how many of us, we read God's word, maybe in the morning, and we get later in the day, we're like, what did I read? Anybody been there? And I think that's kind of what Pastor Anson's talking about, is that we need to have that conversation with God. So when we read His word, He opens our eyes and it sticks in our heart. That we're all there when we're talking to God. It's a conversation, right? So let's just ask God to really teach us His word day by day as we do that. Huh? Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you for Pastor Anson, Lord, as He just made it so clear to us today. And I pray, dear God, that as we begin and continue to study your word, Lord, that you would open our eyes and open our hearts. And Lord, I pray that you would just hide it deep in there, Lord, so that it would really impact us in the days ahead and even in the current issues we face. Father, go with us today. We pray for traveling mercy. And we pray, dear God, that you would just give us a vantage point now from the scriptures that would guide our lives day in and day out. And Lord, especially, Lord, if there's anyone here that needs Jesus, Lord, the scriptures guide us that there is no way out of this earth without His salvation. And I pray, Lord, that you would just touch everyone's heart with that hope. And I pray it in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen.